Welcome back to the Developmental Podcast in take number three. We've tried to start this, actually. We've done this show for a very long time. My name's Michael Farrow, by the way. Hello. We've done this sort of setup for a while, and for some reason, today, our synchronized clapping in order to start the podcast has absolutely backfired multiple times. This is also because this is the first time we're doing this show with our webcams on, so we can see each other. So that might be it. I'm being joined by Liam Stewart. Liam, how are you going?
Good. That was the equivalent of, you know how sometimes you just forget how to breathe? And
yeah.
Then you kind of go into manual breathing mode, mm-hmm. where you're like, breathe in, breathe out. Oh shit, do I have to think about this?
Mm.
Breathe in. Or you start wondering how your voice sounds, so you start saying words and you're like, is that how I sound?
Mm.
But I mean, other than that, we've recorded two podcasts before that. We've done this. You can barely tell that me and Ennis haven't slept together. Yeah.
It'll happen. Ennis, you're also on the show. Do you want to say hello?
I was waiting for an introduction to me.
You barely get one.
As my non-sexual partner.
See, the problem is I'm now conscious of my breathing after Liam said that. I'm not that wrong now. I'm just going, oh, this is weird. Well, I do this without thinking. This is odd.
Oh, shit, now so am I.
See?
Stop thinking about breathing. It's really...
I'd call this podcast NXT Roundtable 17, I Can't Breathe, but I think that has some racial connotations nowadays.
Also, it's 16, not 17.
That was the problem with what Liam said. That was the problem.
Didn't matter for Travis Banks, so it doesn't matter for me.
For fuck's sake. Literally 2 minutes, and you couldn't go 2 minutes with it, for fuck's sake.
Okay.
It's what the people tune in for.
Michael, save us, please.
Yeah, before we get into the meeting, I guess, because there's going to be some awards handed out for some reason that was decided a couple of hours ago. There was no real news this week. Nothing really happened. The only real piece of news was the confirmation that Kairi Sane has decided to leave WWE. And she, it seemed to be on really good terms, and like WWE did all these really nice, like, farewell things for her and let her go out nicely. Online, anyway, on TV, she had her head bashed against the wall so much that she couldn't get up anymore.
But, sums up her run with Nia Jax, to be fair.
but online, anyway, and on Twitter and so forth, it was actually a really nice goodbye. So just general thoughts about Kairi, her run in WWE, and how you think she will be remembered. So we'll go with Ennis first, because I'm scared of Liam.
That's a mistake. Kairi for me is weird, because I think she was really, really... she's always had a bit of a weird run, because on NXT, she was good, and then she won the title, and then lost it, and then she was kind of just in a, like... nothing for a while, and then she was a pretty over babyface, went to the main roster, they turned her heel, but then the heel thing worked, so it's a weird time she's had in WWE, but not an unsuccessful one. I mean, she won the first Mae Young Classic, and she I think she was a two-time tag champ with Asuka.
Two-time NXT, so, two-time tag.
Yeah, that's right. She's had certainly a successful time in WWE, and I think she'll be remembered as, like, the catalyst for, like, the Japanese women's talent coming in. Well, I suppose Asuka came first, but Kairi was more of the sort of catalyst for, like, Io, and I've realised there's no one else after Io.
Just Io. Because Zaya's Chinese.
And not
no,
good.
Dai would make that mistake. I am not so low as to make that joke.
Well, I think she's continuing to work with the WWE. I think that's one of the sort of key things that seems to be sort of pushed throughout this is she's no longer wrestling for them. She's going back to Japan somehow, despite the fact there's no flights, to be with her family and to, you know, take a break from it all. Mm. And she's going to be sort of the brand ambassador for Japanese women's wrestling to the WWE, sort of bridge that gap. But yeah, I think they did a really nice job. The cynical part of me thinks that, like, you know how they did that really sweet video with, like, Asuka being like, I was so lonely before you came here. Really touching stuff. All of this, like, hashtag thank you, Kyrie, and everything does have a slight underlying sort of, please don't go to AEW about it.
the Ambrose thing.
Yes. Yeah, where it was like, we want to leave on good terms. But also just, she seems really nice.
Yeah.
Like, do you see the video of her with Roderick Strong's kid?
Mm.
With the little, you spin it like this, and she's just nice. Mm. Nothing really much. It was a choice she's made, so I'm happy enough for her. And also, the amount of concussions she's had, I'm kind of glad she's not wrestling.
Yeah, I think with Kyrie, it's weird. It is, like, she started off, you know, big with the Mae Young Classic win, and then going into the NXT Women's Title tournament, she won the belt. But then she was called up to the main roster to go into the tag division.
Yeah.
And which was always kind of like a disservice to her, because, like, the Kabuki Warriors, when it started, was awful. With Paige as the manager, and it just did not click at all, and it didn't click until Asuka started to use the Mist. That's when it really started.
Some Mist.
And, like, it, and they had a really good run, I believe. Yeah, and, like, they even got a WrestleMania match out of it, like, the fake WrestleMania out of it.
Oh, but, yeah.
Like, so in that instance, it was a success for Kyrie, because she won gold, she won singles gold, but, like, main roster wise, it's a shame they didn't see her as a singles star. They only put her in a tag star. So I would have liked to see what could have happened after that was all done. But if Kyrie wants to go, Kyrie, go, absolutely. I wouldn't want to be in the US right now either, honestly. So full credit to her.
I think she's also a solidified Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Where someone like Shayna might not be, despite the fact that they are, like, Shayna's more prolific, like, by awards. Mm. But for what Kyrie represents, same with Asuka, I think they'll probably induct each other.
Let's
some really awkward speeches.
Let's be real, and I like the person, so it's not like I'm trying to throw shade that way, but, like, Tori Wilson's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly.
All the women right now are going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Except Lana and Dana Brooke.
She's making her NXT return, I'll have you know, according to Dennis. He didn't react to that. It's really strange.
I've
got a weird DM on Discord whilst you were on that. Someone is offering me give away a total 15 bitcoins as part of pandemic relief program. I wish I was kidding.
Gonna say that.
What
that's
is
a
it?
Virus, mate.
What is it with Innes and just tuning out and leaving this show at least at about the 10-minute mark? Because you've done this again.
Someone was offering me 15 bitcoins. I had to make sure it wasn't legit, but it's a weird website, so I'm just going to block
you. You clicked on the website?
No, but the website link came up. So it was like Zelbit at NET dot whatever the fuck. I don't know.
Dot
anyway,
it's
I'm
a
here.
Virus.
yeah.
But yeah, anyway, basically, God. we decided that, like, basically the news, as Michael was saying this week, is Kyrie's left. Eddie Kingston signed, but I don't want to call him shit for an hour. I do that enough on Twitter. Atlee May Stewart. But we wanted to fill that segment because we like having that little bit of discussion before we get into NXT, which we will talk about probably about the half an hour mark, usually, where we get to it. So we created the Devies. You know, all awards have shit names, so we've got the Dev Pod Slammies,
and they all end in E's.
Yes,
I've just realised Devies probably isn't the best name. Look at the first three letters. What other wrestling persons associated with those first three letters?
What DEV?
Mm-hmm. Dev.
Oh. Well, he's getting one of my awards, so it's fine. Anyway.
Good. Okay, fine, excellent, good.
So. we've come up with a list of, this is like the Devies Awards so far.
Mid-year awards.
Yeah. We've got Male of the Year, Female of the Year, Most Improved Male, Most Improved Female, Breakout Star, Most Disappointing Male, Most Disappointing Female, One to Watch, Match of the Year, and Moment of the Year. Basically, we'll just go through it, each explain what our moments are. Might be some overlap. I think the first two, though, will be probably unanimous overlap.
Yeah.
But it means that at the end of the year, we can revisit this and see what's changed. Maybe someone's dropped off. Maybe someone's come out of nowhere. Who's that jumping out the sky? Damien Priest.
Ain't no way. But, okay, let's be honest. Okay, male and female, who didn't have Keith and EO?
Yeah, I've got Keith and EO.
Oh, I've got Carrion for male.
He's been here for 5 minutes.
I'm basically...
Okay, TV show of the year, AEW, for 2019.
I will put Cody if you want to start that shit. I'll put fucking Cody if you want me to.
Oh, yeah, we should point out that this will be mainly NXT-based, as this is the NXT roundtable, but there are some mentions of other companies on there just because, you know, it makes sense.
Oh, I've kept in mind NXT now, so...
So, well, that's fine. I will remove the two New Japan mentions at the end. There you are. All NXT. Carrion's an interesting one. I am cocks out for Carrion. But he's just too new.
See, I'm basing it off how long, because I've only been watching NXT since April, and Keith Lee I don't know how much did Keith Lee do before, between January and then.
He was in the Royal Rumble. He won North American title by then. I think he had.
Yeah, so he won it in October from Royal. Definitely late last year.
The proper rise of Keith Lee can be pinpointed with Don't You Forget About Keith. Because that was as he was getting super over.
I missed all that. Because I saw it for what the Cultaholic were doing it, but I wasn't watching then. I think it's more to me to do with like engagement, because as much as I like Keith and I think he's good, I'm kind of just a bit with him, whereas Carrion is someone new and interesting and different, and I feel more drawn to that.
I just think I'm assuming we've all got EO here, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Unparalleled and sort of in ring and the unique character and the way she's presented with Poppy and stuff. Like, we all know how good EO is and how good she can be, and she's had great matches consistently. So that one's a certain. I went for Keith Lee because it's the year of Keith so far. Double champ, great matches, and also, as we'll talk about when we talk about this week's NXT, I think this year he's gone from being a really good wrestler to a really good wrestler and one of the best promos in the business. I am a big fan of the way he speaks. I think he's a complete package, and I think that assuming they don't drop the ball with him, he's a guaranteed future world champion.
We said that about so many people.
He's big. That's the main difference.
He's not got this small, but he's also mentality. Something else that starts with B.
a blockbuster wrestler. Wouldn't want to get blacklisted from anywhere.
Okay, so now that we've done those two that are out the way, this was the hardest one for me, which was the most improved male, because as I was looking at the list, I was like, well, no one's really shown much promise. It's just, no one has real, like, out the like, Keith, because Keith Lee was already, like, established, so you can't really say Keith Lee. So, like, no one really has had that moment of, like, wow, like, you were at the bottom, now you've come up, or you've gone from mid-card to main-card, or you've done... No one's jumped out, and I think that actually says to maybe NXT's weakness at the moment is that in the first 6 to 7 months, they haven't really had a male anyway that has really shown massive improvement. Some might say Damian Priest, but I don't like Damian Priest. And also,
I had three in mind. He was the last one that I had thought about. He's not my pick.
No.
I feel like there's only really two picks here. anyway.
I have two, and I won't. And
the same two.
I don't know if they are or not. They might not be. My first one was Drake Maverick.
Okay, they're Ooh. Not.
Yeah,
I did consider him though. I did consider him
because I think obviously with the being fired thing being turned
into a pretty big improvement.
Yeah, he because like a few months ago he was out of a job and now he is in a job. So really, he has. That is the clear answer there. but I think he's like he went from A being fired, and then to being like re-signed. He had this like he went from being not even being a in-ring personality to being like challenging for the Cruiserweight title, believably in this underdog sort of story. So I think Drake Maverick is one. The other one for me. Is solely just based over the last maybe 4 or 5 weeks or so.
I think this is the one that I've picked.
Cameron Grimes.
Yeah. That is my pick.
Yeah.
Same here.
It's just he has really harnessed the I'm a really fucking annoying piece of shit and has run with it. And this week's NXT is no exception. He's just so annoying, but he's really good at being annoying. And just the little interactions, like that a few weeks ago when he was trying to duck out of the match with Damian Priest and like he was faking an injury and he was talking to girls backstage and then the
Regal comes
iPad Regal comes out. And
the biggest missed opportunity.
That should have been another category, but yes.
iPad Regal of the moment.
No, missed opportunity of the year. Because it's either that or Rhea in Robert Stonebrand. But that, like, it just, I started to be like, oh, like, because we didn't get Cameron Grimes for a long time. We didn't get him for, like, a good portion of his first, like, probably 6 months or so. But now he's really turned into this annoying character. He's like, he obviously he's not the same character, and it's like, you know, he doesn't play the guitar or anything like Elias did, but he's like, he's annoying like Elias, but like he's decent enough in the ring where I'll watch his matches.
Where he's at now, it's weird. He's improved by going backwards.
Yeah.
Because Ennis, you were there with me at Super Strong Style, where his gimmick was, I'm signed, ha ha ha, I'm better than you. And then he accidentally did a bottle flip, so just started dabbing to take the piss. The greatest
moment I've ever seen.
And he came out in like the NXT jacket and was being like, yeah, you'll love me because I'm signed. Like, he's basically gone from being unlikable because he's annoying to likable because he's annoying. It's like it's been a good character shift. Yeah. Mm. And also the cave-in is excellent. Might be end.
People listening wouldn't have seen it, but when I said like me, there was a look of from Liam and Michael there that I quite enjoyed.
So we all chose Cameron Grimes, yeah.
Cameron Grimes.
Yeah, cool. I was almost gonna go for Dexter Lumis, but I switched last week.
I considered it and then I realised that I really don't like his matches. I enjoy the build and the character of him. But the matches bore me.
With the exception of the edit that we'll talk about later in the show, he is shot magnificently. He'll pop up in like a little square or in the shadows or anything. He's so great, like visually. But then yeah, his matches, like, I don't hate them, but there is something weird about them. We'll go to most improved female now.
It's obvious.
Is it? I have it, two.
Do not deny her moment.
Oh, no. No, Liam, don't do this. No.
Ennis, there has never been a bigger backtrack on this podcast than the three of us saying that they should fire Aaliyah to the three of us stanning Aaliyah. So the most improved female is clearly Aaliyah. She has gone from not being used and no one giving a shit about her to the highlight of NXT each week in the Robert Stone brand. So, it's Aaliyah.
I hate that you're right. I originally put Tegan and Dakota, but no, it has to be Aaliyah.
They've gone from being underwhelming to being where they should be.
Mm.
But, yeah, I think in terms of because like you could have put Keith Lee here, for example, because well, not here for the previous one, same category. I didn't mention this about Keith, like because he went from before like it went live, kind of not being used to going to double champ, but everyone knew he was capable of that. Whereas honestly, I don't think anyone really saw anything in Aaliyah. We certainly didn't on the podcast. We fucking slated her. We stand a queen.
I didn't put Aaliyah for this one.
Ooh, okay.
Wrong answer there.
But, like, you put over good points, and I do understand why you would put Aaliyah, because now she's part of an actual story and all that sort of stuff, so yeah. I do get that. The person I put down was actually Raquel Gonzalez.
That was my other show. I would have given it to her if she hadn't disappeared over the last sort of 3 weeks.
Yeah, probably Corona. Because, like, honestly, we're not going to be told that it is or not, and it's the only... Yeah. So, and if she was injured, we would just be told that she's injured. So, when people just disappear out of nowhere, I'm just going to assume Corona.
Like Apollo.
Yeah, exactly. Just
they did it fucking Extreme Rules.
It's like,
oh, is that why Apollo's disappeared? Has Apollo disappeared? I didn't know.
He was meant to have a match with MVP, Extreme Rules. MVP came out and said, Apollo's not coming, I am the champion. And that was it. Literally. It was awful.
Great. But, like, I put Raquel because, like, she was just not on the radar. Like, I know she kind of debuted with... Because... The street fight with Dakota and Tegan, was that Portland?
Portland.
Yeah. Okay. So like she was not on the radar at the start of the year. To then being in this really good bodyguard role, and she's doing it well. So, you know, I'm not sure where she is at the moment, but I hope she'll be back soon. But if she does continue to be in the role, I think that she's got to be up there as well. Someone who was, like, not even on TV to now having a really good spot on the show and doing it well. So, Raquel...
She enhances Dakota massively.
Yeah, exactly. Breakout star...
Obvious.
Carrion.
Is Carrion.
Like, obvious.
Has to be.
He's gripped the podcast.
Gripped. But also, and it's made Liam grip something else. Yeah, there it is.
But he... I think more so than that, they clearly see him as the breakout star. Like, he's a looking like a weird Tommaso Ciampa. Interference aside that I've been worried about for a few months now. He's looking like he'll beat Keith Lee at 30. And that's a monster push. So
I don't know if he is.
I think the only way they would have him lose it, and obviously we'll talk more about this in the NXT session, is I feel like Ciampa disappearing makes sense to come back and
to then get revenge. Yeah. Right. Yeah,
because otherwise, like I'm not put Ciampa for my most disappointing, because I actually think as he got involved across at the same time Gargano switched his character up, they both actually got really interesting again. He has just disappeared. Maybe Corona.
Maybe Corona.
I think Cross is one of the most interesting things in wrestling right now.
Definitely.
None of us really cared about him in the indies, so.
And as a breakout star, you have to group in Scarlett with Carrion as well, because Scarlett, I don't think Carrion would be anywhere nearly as interesting if Scarlett wasn't there. So
no, it helps keep him special that she, like, he's there on video and she's there
physically.
Absolutely.
Because
most disappointing male. I have two for this. I have two. One, I think, is really fair. The other one pains me to say.
I have one that I think might be the one that pained you to say.
Yeah.
Ooh,
okay.
It's visceral with me.
Yeah. The one that is, like, I think is fair. Kushida. He is just nowhere. And even before, when he was in the Cruiserweight tournament and everything, he was nowhere. He came in with such hype, and so much, like, you know, fanfare and everything, and he has done absolutely nothing and has not had a great match. He's had fine matches. I don't think he's had a great match.
Volta was the closest, I think.
Closest, but, like, again, it was a good match, but it wasn't a great match.
And also, it was, like, a year ago or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think he's
suffered from a series. I mean, I guess you could put both down to Corona. Because I feel like he was meant to win that tournament and then meant to face Devlin. And what would have been, like, a series of really good matches. But then Drake Maverick got himself over.
Mm-hmm.
And it will never not annoy me that Kushida went, no, no, we won't have rematch. You just win.
And
bye.
Also the fact that he has not been on TV since.
Since then, yeah.
Like, it's a problem.
I'm going to give them the benefit of assuming he's not wanting to work because he has a young child. Maybe. So, Corona safety, maybe.
That could be it. But even when you take Corona out of it, before it, he was...
Before that. Yeah. I think it's a fair shout. I'm going to say my one, because I think it's the one that hurts you.
Mm-hmm.
I think, without a shadow of a doubt, in terms of where someone should be and what they should be doing to what they are doing, there is no more disappointing superstar that is male on the NXT roster than Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Yeah, still not mine. Wow. Finn's accurate. But
Finn Balor has done nothing interesting since a shoot promo at the start. He's done fuck all.
I think...
And I don't know what he's going to do at 30.
The problem, I think, with Finn, because they were teasing... They were teasing Balor and Velveteen a few months ago.
Team Dream, yeah.
And then Velveteen Dream. You know what? Maybe disappointing male should be... Maybe Velveteen Dream should be a disappointing male.
He might prefer most disappointing boy. That seems to be more his demographic. What school do you go to?
Allegedly. But... Yeah, so, I mean, you take Velveteen out of it. I think there's a few people who have been stuffed up by the Dream, by Velveteen Dream not being around. I'm being so careful! Oh my god!
Stuffed Sorry, up by I the Dream, right?
I want to just repeat, there's been a few people who have been stuffed up by the Velveteen Dream. Sorry?
Yeah, and they're all allegedly under 15.
Oh, Jesus.
Good lord. Okay. Like, Dexter Lumis was supposed to be heavily involved and so forth with the story. Mm-hmm. And then I think Balor was also supposed to be in that too. I think.
Then Balor Volta was meant to happen as well.
Balor's been dealt pretty bad hands in that. Like, they've had stories for him, but then the people that he was supposed to be in a story with have been taken out for various different reasons. They have Balor on the roster, and they continue to do nothing with him. But they have, but they're also having him take losses as well with no real rebound. So it's a problem.
Also, we've done two NXT top fives that will. This comes out the day we're recording this, which is the 1st of August. They'll come out. There's not like a set date for them. They'll come out when we need some filler, but. During that, we talked about the fact that Nakamura feels like he's not trying. I also feel like Finn Balor isn't trying. Or Possibly. At least isn't trying. I watch him have... Him versus Johnny Gargano had no reason to not be good. And it wasn't good. That, obviously, we'll talk about his match on this week's NXT. He was probably the weakest part of it. And then, honestly, if he has a bad match at 30...
If given where he was 30.
On the main roster, I feel like we're going to end up with him and Gargano doing something because they've been working in this feud, revisit an old one where the dynamics kind of shifted. Because they need something to do. So
I'm surprised neither of you have mentioned because I agree with Balor in that. Yeah, he's stagnated for a little while, but I think part of that is also the opportunity has sort of screwed him over because I bet he was originally meant to face Walter at TakeOver Dublin, but obviously that went down the drain. I'm surprised neither of you have mentioned Adam Cole because I think he's someone who has been given opportunities and he's been very, his last, like, 2 or 3 months with as they win the NXT title, I don't think were very good.
I don't think the stories he was put in were very good, but he did a lot of stuff that I thought he performed well in.
Like the Undisputed Comedy the therapy segments. Yeah. The problem with that is I feel like as an NXT world champion, if the best thing you're doing is comedy segments with your faction, that's a problem.
Yeah, but also I just think I think other than the fucking Dexter, not the Velveteen Dream thing. I think the whole reason he has been unenjoyable is because he was against the Velveteen Dream, who, true, you know what, even if you were excluding the nonce allegations, Velveteen Dream is right up there for this year. He's been shocking. He has done very little entertaining, and then when it looked like we were going to get something entertaining with him and Loomis, instead of focusing on continuing to get better, he DM'd kids. So, you know.
And even a week after that happened, a week after that happened, they built he did a promo. No, he did a promo, but it was like Loomis gave him a photo and he said, "I'm not interested in you." And they've done nothing with that since. So I don't know what the hell's happened there. But
we know
it's weird. It's very weird. True.
So we don't know if he's going to ever come back or if he's just going to be quietly leaving the company or whatever. There's nothing that's coming. Then he was in a car accident or something as well. Yeah. But I don't know.
Because of that clickbait, very clever clickbait, Velveteen Dream released article.
Oh, yeah. That
from
was,
hospital.
Yeah, that was... yeah. That was quality journalism there. So yeah, it's a very odd one. I think Adam Cole, while underwhelming as world champion, especially in the last few months, I don't think he's disappointed anywhere near as much as Finn Balor. Yeah. Because Finn Balor
compared
should,
to expectations.
Because yeah, because yeah. Finn Balor should be up there and he's not for whatever reason. And Kushida is not existent.
Has the demon lost yet? I can't remember.
The demon did lose to Joe in a cage takeover at the end. Yep. But that was like four or five years ago.
Yeah.
Cool. See, once Cross is champ, can we do Cross Demon and just have Cross be the demon? Have Cross exercise the demon.
I don't know if they're doing
the demon now, because it's not appeared since Bray.
Yeah,
I think they're taking a break from it.
Well, because I think that when they do Gargano Balor at 30, like in the way that I see they're doing, I think that will turn Finn face during it,
right?
And he'll be just slightly an edgier face, and I could see him bringing it back because it's takeover 30.
Yeah,
like it feels like they need to do something extra special. I'd like to see some throwbacks to the first takeover as well.
Yeah.
What about on the female side? Because I think mine's is controversial.
I think mine's a line up probably.
I think we've lined up. I think so.
I think we have.
Because can we just establish it's clearly not Mia Yim because
nothing
is expected of her.
No. Like, I mean,
is where, and in fact, the stuff with Keith Lee has been some of the best stuff she's done.
And the street fight with Candice as well was pretty solid.
Yeah. So she's been overperforming what we expect of her. For me, is someone...
I was going to say, because I was looking at Female of the Year, I was like, oh, you know, for Female of the Year, while Io Shirai absolutely is Female of the Year, you know, in my heart, I wanted to put Poppy. But I couldn't. And then I was thinking Santana Garrett, but no. The most disappointing female, it's got to be Rhea Ripley, isn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's not who I've got.
Really?
Oh, really?
Really?
Wow, because
I think Rhea Ripley is a very strong answer. The reason that I don't think she's the most the disappointing is because I will stand by that her versus Charlotte from Mania is possibly one of the best women's matches of all times. And it just suffered from not having crowd and being on a show that not a lot of people watch.
Absolutely.
I'll let you guys talk about Rhea for a bit, and then I'll get booed.
it's unfortunate because Rhea's title reign got interrupted more than anything. Not so much that it ran its course, she got interrupted because Charlotte Flair needed to be brought to NXT for ratings.
Yeah.
And
for an incredibly predictable storyline, I should point out.
Yeah, which apparently has an end game. Mm-hmm. we will see with that, but she's out at the moment. So Charlotte Flair came down NXT to beat people and then to not be beaten, which it pains me to say that Liam was right. And
I know the Flairs.
And it's just unfortunate because like Rhea started out so hot this year, and then it's just if you look at trajectory-wise, there's no one who's fallen higher than probably Rhea, because Rhea went from top of the world, losing to Charlotte, taking the pin in your house, and to like, and like, while we love doing, while we love the Robert Stone stuff, it's not where her spot should be, or at least should have been at the and start they didn't of the even, year.
They didn't even capitalize on it, and they, as well. And they, I think, see if in that 3 weeks they had done started doing skits and stuff and they were really good, I don't think we would have thought about it as much. Could be enjoying what she was.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So I think that's so I think that's why with Rhea, trajectory wise, she's fallen off a cliff, unfortunately. So, and a lot of it is not her fault. I wish her promos were better, but a good portion of it doesn't have much to do with her.
So I went through the thought process of, like, change and improvement and success. So, like, Io continued to be great, won the title in a great manner, even if it was predictable, and then has gone on to be great on week-to-week TV, great in-ring performer. Candace has had this character change that I think is great. NXT clearly aren't valuing Candace as a like world champion, which, you know, maybe she's slightly on the older side, they want to use some of these other talent, that's fine, but she's still doing well with what she's given. Dakota, who I was not a big fan of, has changed my main issue with her, which is, you're good in ring, but I don't give a fuck. They've brought in Raquel, they've modified her, we've made her angsty. Rhea, yeah, she's had a fall, but I still enjoy her matches when she works. I enjoy sometimes her weird promo thing where it's like just a little bit awkward because it suits who she is as a real person. And then obviously you discount the people who aren't really in a position to be, like Santana Garrett, or, you know, the likes Lacey Lane and Casey Smith. like they aren't expected to be good and they aren't given the opportunity to be good. Someone that I think is given countless opportunities and still can't find the fucking energy to develop a fucking personality is Tegan Nox.
Oh no.
Tegan, the only way they managed to make Tegan Nox remotely interesting was to, one, give her Shotzi Blackheart, who has a tank, I should point out, and put her against Sasha and Bayley. Her match with Io was underwhelming. Her character arc since 2016 has been the exact same. And I can't get invested in her now, because despite the fact I watch her sometimes in ring and I'm like, this is fine, and I then get a promo for her and she's like, I'm from Wales and I've got a really sore knee, and I'm like, so does Peter Griffin when he goes in Family Guy. It's not a fucking personality. And no one has been gifted more opportunities to become a star than her, and she fucks it every time. And sometimes her knee fucks it as well. I'm quite passionate about not liking Tegan.
Yeah, tell us what you really feel, Liam. Christ.
But you know, I should point out that, you know, it's really nice to see bisexual representation in NXT, so that's a positive. I do think, however, by the end of the year, my answer on this will change.
Yeah.
Because the way it looks like the story is going at the moment, I think we're going to see Tegan turn.
Maybe.
Or maybe just go slightly edgier, and then, as long as we get, I just want a personality.
Yeah.
Just I haven't seen her do anything different this year, despite being fully fit. And I thought a fully fit and used it at Tegan would be much better than it has been.
A character shift is needed with Tegan.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It is time for something to happen with her. So I guess it's because this is the first run. This is the longest time she's gone without injuring herself. So so she's like, holy shit! I usually get injured by now. So and then I can come back from a knee injury again.
up next is a more positive one. We've done our two negative ones. You've got to put some negative in there. Critical. Mm. Not negative. Mine's was a little negative. Your guess was critical. It's one to watch. And I didn't put Cross for this. I thought that was too obvious. Yeah. Everyone is watching Cross. Mm-hmm. I kind of put the criteria as this is someone that I think is consistently performing well and not in the position or receiving the praise that I think they deserve. Mm-hmm. Like someone I think could go on to do much bigger things. Mm-hmm. So I put Isaiah Swerve Scott.
Ooh, okay.
I think that man is in ring one of the most athletic and impressive wrestlers NXT has, and he is much bigger than the cruiserweight division.
Mm.
His match against Gargano at Great American Bash Night 2 was fantastic. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it again today. His stuff with Atlas here was great. He's just another one who, and this is kind of the difference between like him and Tegan to link back. Tegan gets promo time. Swerve doesn't.
Mm.
Get rid of the cum font.
No, keep the cum font.
I've never heard that before. You've ruined this fucking Titantron for me now. Oh.
I've been saying that for 7 months now. Really?
I've never heard this. What?
Yeah, it looks like cum. But just let him develop a bit of character, and then I think we're going to get him in Phantasma soon, which should be really good. But I just think across the end of this year, the start of next year, I can see NXT really getting invested in him as like the next natural babyface.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I didn't want to put Cross or Shotzi. Ines,
yes.
Who have you got?
Oh, you want me? Sure. I was originally going to go for someone like Cross or even Damian Priest or something like that. But I thought I'd go for someone who I've probably been interested the most since I started watching NXT again, and that's Cameron Grimes. Because I think if he keeps up this shitbag thing, I think there's a decent chance he could be North American champion. Maybe in this title match, if they want someone who's already kind of established. Because that's something different that NXT haven't really done. Like, all of their kind of, at least all the North American champions have been normal fighting champions. Even Adam Cole, when he had it, was a relatively normal champion. But someone who just chicken shits out, gets DQ'd, runs away, count out, that could be fun and interesting in NXT. Because you don't get, it's more stereotypical wrestling stuff, but you don't really get that in NXT, which is why I think it'd be interesting.
The key thing as well is, unlike Adam Cole, where it became repetitive, Grimes would be allowed to do it in a funny way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like the idea of him getting a saying he's forgotten his PE kit, or he's got a doctor's note and things like that, and it's from the doctor of Thuganomics and stuff like that. Like, I see what you mean. I think if this ladder match had some more established names,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, like, I get they're basically doing it as a breakout tournament part two.
Mm-hmm.
If it had more established names, then I'd think he could go in it and then like sneak a win.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like The Miz when it looked like The Miz had won it and then Zack Ryder shoved them off.
Yeah.
But instead of a feel good moment, it's like Bronson Reed has ascended to the top and he's getting his moment, and then
the
Cameron
thick
Grimes
boy dreams about to come true.
Oh, we will get to that. We will get to that. But. I can see what you mean, Ennis.
Yeah,
fair enough. Michael, do you have Grimes?
No, I don't have Grimes. But I would say I want to see like Cameron Grimes kind of do what Edge and Christian did back in the day, which was like, you know, fucking fake food poisoning and all these different new and different reasons as to why he can't wrestle that day. Kind of the same. Also, mix Edge and Christian with 2016 Eva Marie. Of like wardrobe malfunctions, stuck in traffic, all these different reasons and ridiculous excuses as to why he can't defend
have him
the title.
Say his grandmother's died 5 weeks in a row.
Exactly. And then you could say like hillbillies, they have lots of grandmas, that kind of thing. I mean, that's an option, but but as far as my one to watch goes, I have gone with Dakota Kai. Because I think she's starting to really, even though Raquel's missing at the moment, Not like Madeline McCann missing, but she's been away for a few weeks.
You know, in case there was any confusion, just in case you thought, you know, she was maybe kidnapped or something. That's not the case. It's okay. Don't worry. Well done. That's a me level comment. Well done. You've stooped to my level.
But I'm sorry. sorry. I just have this image of Dakota leaving Raquel to in a room so she can go get dinner, and they're coming back.
It's so she can go. It's so she can go on Twitch stream. For like that.
She comes back and Raquel's missing, and the window's open.
Or the true version of that where Dakota euthanizes Raquel in her sleep and then makes his shit ton of money by selling a book.
The views of Liam Stewart do not represent us. Good. Sue him.
Oh, no. Hating the McCanns is the correct view. People like that.
Okay. But I went with Dakota because she seems to be on a roll. I can't talk about this anymore.
So Michael breakout star is Madeline McCann. There we are. I mean, she has the
title of this podcast.
The breakout Raquel star of 2020 is Madeline McCann.
Yeah. Dakota Kai is the one to watch because of Madeline McCann.
She, like McCann, she has re-emerged from the basement.
Yeah. Okay, I'm fine now.
Right,
but yeah, Dakota Kai, because she's been starting to get on a bit of a roll lately. And this coming week on NXT, she's going to have a one-on-one match with Rhea, which I'm hoping is going to be really good, and I hope Dakota wins, in some sort of underhanded kind of way, because I think her promos are solid enough that I think she...
Yeah, fine.
They're solid enough to a point where, like, she can do that. So that she's good in ring, and I think she's starting to now gain that momentum after finally getting past the Tegan story. So I've gone with Dakota for that one. So moment of the year, which was not the last 2 minutes. What have you got for moment of the year, Liam?
Drake Maverick's Twitter video.
Really?
Yes, I wasn't sure. It was the second last one I thought of, and I was like, "Oh, you're obviously going to put the tank." And I was like, "No, like the tank wasn't really a moment.
Mm.
Like the Robert Stone tank stuff's like a reoccurring segment, and it's fantastic." And then I was like, "Cross's debut and the Ciampa video was good, but the stuff that came after it's kind of been better. But I think as a singular moment." Drake Maverick's Twitter video encapsulates something great. And, you know, once again, separating whether or not it was manipulative or whatever, Drake Maverick sat in front of there and with sadness in his heart delivered the promo of 2020 on an iPhone.
Mm.
And it basically saved him his job. And then I think that storyline... It's not ended with the sort of quiet down period before that will reemerge, and I assume we'll get him Phantasma in a stipulation match, like a last man standing or mask title versus career. Basically, I want them to go don't fire Eric with Drake Maverick, and it'll feel slightly uncomfortable because it's based in realness, but all the best stories are.
Mm.
I just thought that, like, because Keith Lee becoming a double champ is a moment of the year in kayfabe, right?
Like, it's what WWE will say is the moment of the year, but it's like, it didn't really matter in hindsight.
A wasted moment of the year, but you know, we'll let that slide, it's fine.
But I couldn't really think of anything that was more impactful than Maverick's video.
See,
so that's my moment.
My moment of the year, what I wanted to put down was the series of vignettes of the Broserweights getting together was Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne getting stuck in Triple H's plane, which is what I wanted to put down, but I didn't. I put Io winning the women's title. Because I thought that they main evented the takeover. Io, the match was really good. Io diving off of a house, and then winning the women's title in exactly the way that Liam said that she would.
that's why I didn't pick it. Not because I specifically predicted it, but I just felt hindsight being thing me, like, if I'd be wrong, maybe I would have, but what I thought would happen was all the way, and I think it made Io winning the title not feel special, and more like, oh, thank God they did that.
Mm.
Yeah, but I think with Io, it's also like, and it's an amalgamation of the heel turn, a lot of hard work, and the heel turn that the fans really got behind, and then they continued that even through the no fans era as well. Because like when Io would like lose number one contender battle royals and so forth, people would be like, come on, what about Io? Where's her opportunity? And she finally got that. So I think that is probably the one that I can think of. Then the other, you know, like I mentioned the Bros Ways just a moment ago, and their tag title win could also be up there as well.
You both took a very different direction to me. Because I originally thought we were all going to go for the tank. So I changed mine. But since none of you have gone for it, I'm going for the tank. Shotzi rolling fucking over stone over with the tank. Because it's genuinely the single best moment of the year. And it single-handedly turned me around on Shotzi.
What were you then thinking before that, then?
Either iPad Regal... Or, listen, it was really funny. Or, Gargano coming out the door in your house. Because he was in the house and he was going out the door and it was his house. And
I think, I don't know about you guys, Michael's kind of always been more in this camp. I've shifted more from, as I've abandoned sexual predator rest, FKA Brit rest, and kind of just focused on watching NXT and the like, just bits of wrestling when I can. I find that as much as I love a like fucking Osprey high intensity match, I've kind of just started accepting the mindset of, see, if something makes me laugh or something just makes me smile, I'm allowed to enjoy it. Whereas sometimes I think as a wrestling fan it's easy to get caught up in like, yeah, but this isn't like really that good. Like, this is a bit stupid or a bit campy, and I'm like,
yeah.
And I think that's kind of where Dai's still at, because he's not got like, he's more uninvested at the moment. Mm-hmm. But like, she ran him over and attacked, and his selling, if you want to call it that, like the
I'm dying.
Yeah, and then like the nice little things, kind of that you go, oh, that's nice.
Mm.
Like Shirley, and then you're sorted.
At the end of the day, wrestling is literally people in their underwear fake fighting. Of course it's fucking hokey and campy.
Wrestling is the gayest thing, but it's the best.
You've
Lars Sullivan approves.
I'm having a great time so far.
You want to keep going?
I think
when you accept that the joy in wrestling is more important than why you're enjoying wrestling, you stop being like the annoying people on Twitter who are like, I'm not enjoying this thing because WWE are a horrible company, and I'm like, yeah, they are, but I also shop at Primark because it's convenient, like, and they exploit children a bit like the Velveteen Dream, allegedly. But
take a shot for every Velveteen
reference
Dream
reference for yep. We're not even into actual NXT yet. This is just the fucking awards.
So the last award is Match of the Year.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I would like to preface this with, remember the bit I said where like I separation of artist and art. Just because someone has done some bad things does not discredit the quality of their work. It means that they maybe shouldn't be allowed to go on to produce more work. I'm not saying that. But Tyler Bate versus Jordan Devlin happened this year. And it was fucking incredible. And yes, Jordan Devlin and Tyler Bate have both since been out as doing some horrible things, but in the context of this, it doesn't matter, okay? So please don't cancel me.
Cool, because that was mine as well.
Oh, I'm gonna look like the black sheep when I've not picked it. So, oh god,
DevPod, speaking the hashtag speaking out's mortal enemy. because it was just so good. I watched it back recently. I actually watched it back maybe a week or two before the speaking out movement, so I got to enjoy it one more time. but like, it's so good. It is just. Oh, it's so good. And it didn't even happen on normal NXT. It was NXT UK. But, like, it's like, we are still, like, what are we, month and a half into hashtag speaking out. And no one really knows what's happening with some of the people who are left who are still employed in WWE. So people like Devlin and Bate and Trent Seven and Wolfgang and all these people who have had accusations put against them, but there haven't been any public public knowledge repercussions from that. It's all just investigations. So while it's still an investigation, I'm still going to call it match of the year so far. The only other one that I had as an option, which also contains another cancelled wrestler, but is still on TV at the time, so it's right now, so it doesn't matter. The Broserweights versus Undisputed Era from Portland was really, really good. But those are my two. God, why do cancelled wrestlers have to be so good?
I've got one that's cancel free that I put in two non-WWE ones to, or non-NXT ones just to mention. Show versus Shingo, fantastic. And I mean, speaking of cancelled, it wouldn't be me if I didn't mention Osprey. Osprey versus Hiromu from Wrestle Kingdom.
God, yeah, Wrestle Kingdom. Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Like, the correct answer to Match of the Year is, well, Osprey versus Hiromu from Wrestle Kingdom. But within the context of NXT, it's Devlin Bate. But yeah, Osprey also cancelled, so that's great.
I forgot that match happened, but I think I'm still going to stick with mine.
It's a fucking great
match. It is a really good match, but I think I'm still going to stick with mine, which is Io versus Sasha from a few weeks ago. I was debating between that and the women's tag. Yeah, I think
the tag's better.
I think the singles better, purely for I prefer singles matches to tag matches. That's probably why.
Me too.
But I just think that match, I don't know, I really should have been expecting more from it, and I wasn't, and I was kind of really, really surprised when they pulled all the stops, and it was really, really good. I feel like it's kind of, there probably is a better match, but I don't know, this year's just gone by, and I can't think of any others.
You know what I think helps it as well? I expected it to be good.
Hmm.
But I thought it would have a dusty finish, like a proper dusty finish.
It
like
kind of did, clever we finish. Ask her.
But no, I was expecting a like double DQ.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I was expecting a non-definitive photo. Photo?
Photo?
That ties into the tweet that I'm currently doing that you can see on at Liam Lee Stewart.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
But...
Oh, what are you doing?
Io and Sasha was good. It was definitely, it was almost like a dream match as well. So I think it had a lot of hype behind it. Sasha's having a great year, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
From after many years of doing nothing. So it's really nice to see that's happening. It was nice to see Sasha and Bayley back in NXT after so many years. So that's also going to be nice. But yeah, I think that's still a solid choice. I think Meltzer would say, God, fucking Adam Cole versus, who did he face?
Well, do you want? In fact, let me tell you what the highest rated match of this year so far. Let's see, Meltzer.
Whilst he's doing that, can I just say Liam is a prick because he has tweeted a photo with a screenshot of us on video call, and it is, to say the very least, not very flattering. So fuck you.
the match of the year according to Dave Meltzer so far, it's a 6-star match. Imagine
Fuck, is it AEW? Can I guess what it is?
It's the match that people don't shut the fuck up about.
Oh, is it the Kenny and Young Bucks versus Lucha Bros and Thingy?
Kenny and Hangman Page versus Matt and Nick Jackson.
Of course it is. Oh,
of course it is.
Then it's Okada, Ibushi, and Takahashi, Osprey is there. So you know,
oh yeah, I forgot about Okada, Ibushi. Christ.
I'm just scrolling down this. The highest rated WWE match is 4.75 stars, and it's the one that Michael mentioned, the Broserweights versus Undisputed Era.
Mm-hmm.
But that does indeed wrap up the debuts. We kind of mentioned a lot of NXT throughout this.
Yeah.
So I think we'll go through NXT a little bit quicker than we usually would. Okay. The kind of focus of this has been the debut. So we'll go maybe 20, 25 minutes to wrap up on NXT.
I've got the running order here. We can there's a few things that we can kind of like skim over, I guess. Cool. So the opening women's tag between Io and Tegan versus Candice and Dakota was pretty standard. Io getting a win.
So, I watched this NXT with Michael and Di, and we joined just after this match, and I said to myself, I need to watch that match. I have not watched that match.
Oh, that's fine. Innes, I'll be honest, that facial reaction made it seem like you hadn't been recording this entire time.
Yeah.
No.
If I had wasted an hour of my life... Because it is now 11:30 at night...
Oh no, 11:30. How late?
And we've been recording podcasts since 8, my time.
Listen, I have this wasted is a worthwhile activity. Night. Not wasted. This is a worthwhile activity.
Candice and Dakota versus Io and Tegan. Really fucking good. Mm. Like, genuinely, surprisingly really good.
Okay.
Didn't expect much. I was very happy with it. And the finish of Tegan kind of cheating. Like, when the ref's distracted, she goes in and hits Candice with the shiniest wizard. And then Io hits the moonsault for the pin.
Yeah.
Like, it was clever.
Yeah, no, it was a decent finish, and you know, Io gets a win and keeps her. Like, it's nice. It's always nice to see a champion win, because like I'm just so used to main roster WWE where that doesn't happen, especially with heel like tweener champions, I guess. That's nice. It was a decent opener. I don't think there's just much to say about it. Other than like Dakota continues to interrupt Io's entrance and just continues to attack her at the entranceway. We then go to Johnny Gargano versus Roderick Strong in a match that was really, really good. It was really, really good. This was solid.
So good.
This makes me want pre-Undisputed Era Roderick Strong back. Because as much as Undisputed Era is great, it kind of has that like Bullet Club syndrome of making everyone apart from the leader just another person.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. And
kind of tying in with the sort of Undisputed Era there. After Johnny wins, talk a little bit more about the match, I feel like, afterwards, but we see him and Cole and Fish talking about like what's going on, Undisputed Era's falling apart, and then Kyle O'Reilly comes in, he calms the ship. He's looked like he's bulked up a bit as well, and he's basically saying, "You're Adam freaking Cole. You're my tag partner, Bobby freaking Fish. You're Roderick Strong." and we'll see later on what they decide to do with this new motivation. But I thought it was really good and like made me care about the Undisputed Era a little bit more than I have. But yeah, this match with Johnny G and Roderick Strong, who are very similar heel characters. Absolute, like a sleeper of a match. I wasn't looking forward to it. It came out and the sequences, the slick reversals, the roll ups into roll ups, muy bien.
There was a Okay, let's. If in a number of NXT podcasts that will be up there, not as many people would spend as much time on this match as we would. But Mercedes Martinez versus Shotzi Blackheart. This was a solid match. It was a solid match between the two of them because Mercedes good, Shotzi's good, and they work well together. This was kind of like the first time seeing the Robert Stone brand being a serious thing of like something like that. They have that. Yeah. They're effective. They have a meal ticket behind it. Now they have Mercedes, it's like, oh shit, we actually kind of have to take Robert Stone seriously now because he's got this incredible talent with them now who can beat anyone up, including your dad. So I thought it was really, and Mercedes picks up a decisive win, so it was a clean win, so like it's like she beat Shotzi fair and square. That's not the end goal. I think the end goal is Mercedes versus Rhea Ripley.
Me too.
So, which I am very much looking forward to if that is indeed the case. But I thought this was a good way to get this was nice because we love comedy Robert Stone. We absolutely love him so much doing that, but it was nice to see him have an effective week.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I liked as well, and it's just a little touch, is Mercedes Martinez has a Robert Stone brand logo in her Tron. So she's got her Tron and then the side. And I just like the idea that this is maybe the start of like the Robert Stone brand thing, and also like him getting a bit too involved over time, which I think has... I don't want too much comedy with Mercedes, but I still want the Robert Stone brand to stay comedic. So I want what Breezango said they were going to do, which is comedy until the bell rings. And I think you can have Mercedes just be deadpan, and you could do some of the comedy stuff with it, and then just have her kill it in the ring. I like the fact that Stone was and Aaliyah were effective. Shotzi goes on the outside, and they distract him, and Mercedes clubs him from behind. Also, he no longer looks like a rough alcoholic. So he's good.
Yeah, Robert Stone looks like he's showered and has cleaned himself up, which is good for him. I'm happy for him.
Ennis, do you want to use this platform to publicly apologize to the Robert Stone brand and Aaliyah for doubting him?
Do I have to? Can I not?
Yes.
Sorry.
There we are. That's. I've got a list. We've got you apologise for that. Then I just need to get someone, I don't care who, to apologise for the Chrisleys. And then Billy Gunn needs to apologise for the Voodoo King Mafia.
In time. In time.
Billy Gunn is wrestling on Dark this week, by the way.
Oh my, wait, hang on. Is that why their initials are VKM? Because Vince Kennedy McMahon.
Oh my god. After this, if you're still about, we can watch the rest of Genesis. Or not Genesis.
Turning Point.
And you'll get to see them be shite.
I don't know if I really want to, if I'm honest. Anyway.
Keith, so bad. Keith Lee cut a promo on Karrion Kross. He said bullshit.
Twice.
And it was bleeped.
What I find funny is they bleep bullshit, right? The crowd start chanting bullshit and they don't bleep it.
Because white noise would be annoying on NXT, like just a constant singular beep.
Yeah, it's called a Roderick Strong promo, mate.
Yeah. So Keith Lee
great promo.
Cuts an impassioned promo, does a swear or two, and then Scarlett comes out looking terrifying, and Cross issues a challenge through video screen. Liam, you love this?
Yeah, but what's weird is it's not just Cross I love in this. I think over the last couple of weeks, Keith Lee's promos have been incredible. One, he uses large words and short words in a great alteration to create a promo that ties together well, but also he has a clear and defined personality as a champion, which is he wants to be an honorable champion and just fight anyone and everyone, and you didn't need to go through all this bullshit, here I am. And then Karrion Kross does this great thing of making Keith Lee the bad guy and doubt himself. Like, what sort of guy sits here and lets me do that to his friend and things like that? Thought it was great. Could do without the crowd getting involved in segments like that. Or, sorry, the crowd getting involved in segments like that. I'm going to tie this into something a bit later, because we get a little 5-second video from William Regal going, "Well, yeah, cup of tea, Princess Diana." This is she died like 21 years ago. Thought I'd get her a mention.
Shout out Diana.
Shout out to my ex. You are Princess Diana. He says, "This is a reminder to Keith Lee, and especially Karrion Kross, that I make the matches here. That you don't get to just decide who you have matches with." I'm fairly sure Keith Lee just decided to have a match with Dominik Dijakovic like a week and a half ago. And I'm fairly sure half of the matches in NXT just get made up on the fly by the wrestlers involved.
Literally last week, Keith Lee said, "I'm dropping the North American Championship," and Thingy said, "Okay."
Take control
of your fucking show.
Didn't we see a segment of Adam Cole like making his statements known to William Regal in a Zoom call and like making demands? So solid.
Regal's just a shite bag. That's what we've learned.
Yeah, he's like shit. I'm losing control. So, two things that we quickly brushed over that I think are worth mentioning. One, the opening of the show was Jim Johnson's Armageddon.
Oh,
and,
the end. Yes.
Judgment Day, the end, over Cross and Keith Lee's little feud, which is great. And it genuinely looks like we're building to Adam Cole, Pat McAfee.
Yeah. Oh, shit, yeah, I skipped over that. I think that was like a mental thing, yeah.
Is he like an ex-wrestler or anything?
No, he's an ex-football player, and he's been training recently, so it's probably happening. Which is weird, because, well, I may as well segue into it now, because Imperium versus Ever-Rise, Imperium beat them quite quick, and then afterwards Unspeed come out and beat them up, which is interesting, if they're also doing Cole versus McAfee. And it's also interesting with Imperium, because there's only two of them. As far as I know, Wolf and Walter can't go over to the US yet. So this seems kind of early to be triggering this.
They're doing the tag title match next week.
But also answers your question. Well, how does Pat McAfee fit in? Well, they need a new Walter. And I believe he thinks the mat is sacred. I'll protect your computer for $5.99.
Anyway, we then go to the other in-ring, like proper, like, you know, work rate match of the show, which is Isaiah Swerve Scott,
the cum dog millionaire.
Isaiah Swerve Scott versus Jake Atlas.
Hey, well done.
I've just realised that nickname could apply to either of them.
It was a really, really good match. It was fantastic. Shout out to Jake Atlas basically doing the Murphy's Law off the second rope. Which looked awesome, and like, this is where, like, there are some elements in this kind of match that annoy me, in that in any other match, that should have probably been the finish, because it was the highest, most impactful move. And it was also Atlas's best move. So, like, if your best move isn't your finishing move, then you need to change that.
You don't like the Rainbow DDT?
It's fine, but, like, that... That move that he did off the second rope looked incredible. And, like, while it would suck to steal a finisher from Buddy Murphy, it did look absolutely awesome. But then Swerve wins with what he calls the JML driver, which, again, looked awesome. That is Swerve's best move, and he wins with that, which is fine. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really good. Good cruiserweight stuff and good building, because I think we had the discussion when Gargano faced Swerve and Swerve lost that Swerve should be winning matches that with people on his level, and it is good to see that he is winning those matches.
Yeah, as Ennis talks about the match, I'm pretty sure my HelloFresh is at the door.
It's lovely. Ennis,
the floor is yours.
Go for
it. My only thought is this felt like an early 205 Live match, but not in a bad way. Like the early 205 Live when people kind of gave a shit and the matches were really, really good and they actually had some decent stories.
Yeah.
Swerve's been on 205 Live and he has been beating people, but obviously no one watches 205 Live, so it was a really good match.
Yeah, he needs to be getting wins where people are actually viewing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so it was solid, and like I think, you know, Swerve versus Santos Escobar, I nearly called him Phantasma, is gonna be a good match to work towards, because I think that was the match that people like kind of wanted Swerve to go further in the tournament and so forth. And then when he didn't, it was like, okay, well, we'll get there eventually. And it's good to see that we are finally starting to head in that direction. The main event of the show is a triple threat to work out the next spot in the North American title ladder match with Dexter Lumis, Timothy Thatcher, and Finn Balor. It was fine. Let's talk the editing.
In that
Lumis does the somersault over the top rope, quote unquote, lands on his feet through
ricochet-esque,
and through fancy little camera work, they zoom in and off at the right time, and they come back to him as he just like leans back up. Thoughts on WWE's fancy tricksy editing?
I could have done that better. So shit. Come on. Surely you must have been able to do that better. Surely. Come on.
Yeah. Like, just get Ricochet to dress up as Dexter Lumis. We know he can do it.
Or if a guy can't do the move that you want him to do, don't do the move.
I like the reaction from Balor and Thatcher. That was good. I'll be honest, the editing of that was less offensive to me than Timothy Thatcher passing out. You know, a submission wrestling expert whose promos are literally him teaching Thatcher's Thatch Can. Like, I get that he didn't tap, but that's almost worse.
No, I feel like that's...
Because, like, in normal wrestling, passing out was like the, oh, you know, you were so brave and whatever. But, like, his thing is basically he does UFC, he's very smart. And the number one thing they teach you is tap.
Mm.
Like, prolong your career by taking the small L to win the war.
Yeah.
This is where, like, I think if you... It's hard because if you work hard and think about it really, really hard, harder than you really should ever have to, you can twist it into a way where it can make sense, because triple threats are not traditional wrestling matches. And also the fact that he was in a submission with Finn Balor at the time and was in the process of trying to make Finn Balor tap, and it did look like Finn Balor was stuck and couldn't move and couldn't get out, and he was about to tap, but it was Dexter Lumis who came up from behind, and while Timothy had his arms and stuff were occupied in the submission on Balor, that allowed Dexter to get the submission on by surprise when he wasn't seeing it, therefore and it was relatively quick. It was relatively quick pass out, which would happen with a strangle. So if you look at it that way, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
but you do have to do a lot of mental gymnastics in order to justify it.
Oh, so how I think anyway? That's not much effort for me, to be honest.
Exactly.
He's not wrong.
but I get the feeling they might have done that to tease Lumis versus Thatcher after the ladder match, because I'd be surprised if Lumis wins the North America title. Like he's popular and good, but I think there's better options out there. And I think him versus Timothy Thatcher could be a very good feud for the both of them, if obviously the dream thing from a couple of weeks ago isn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah, we might ask Liam to interrupt his unpacking of his HelloFresh order.
It's an unboxing now. I was
I was more concerned because, like, listeners can see that, but, like, look at the butt, bottom of the butt.
Oh, it's about right, to yeah, cave okay. in.
Because it got left on... They said the porch. I live in a stair. Got left outside the door of the stair. and, like, it's, like, just sellotaped up at the top, and it, like, looked like it had been opened, and I was just making sure it's not been stolen. Also, they left me one that says... It's on your porch, and one that says we're going to try to deliver it again tomorrow. And I'm like,
which one?
The only other thing I have come in is a frame for my degree. Yeah, I graduated. I'm smart. SMRT. That I want to get framed so I can do the Homer Simpson joke.
Nice.
Well done.
But that's not getting delivered till 5. So it was a mediocre match. Not a fan of the finish. I am concerned and worried for this ladder match. Especially given it looks like in the triple threat next week will be two people and NXT UK superstar from Yorkshire, Ridge Holland, who wasn't even big on NXT UK.
He came out, was it Blackpool 2 he came out and was in the crowd? Was that the show?
What was the Blackpool 1, I think.
Yeah, because we were at a show and he came out and he was in the crowd. I don't think it was Blackpool 1. I think it was Blackpool 2.
Cardiff.
Because I wasn't at Cardiff.
Because Blackpool 2 was January.
Yeah.
And he's wrestled. I'll tell you now, the Ridge...
I think... Because the only Atiko was... I've been to Cardiff. Match. And I don't think it was as far away as last Blackpool. So
if I look at his matches on Cage Match, his first match... Oh, of course, because he was signed to NXT before NXT UK, actually, as Luke Menzies.
Yeah.
So I guess in that way it makes sense. But if I look at this...
I assume they were bringing them over for for NXT UK, and then obviously the pandemic.
NXT UK, Hull, he debuted against Oliver Carter.
Right.
That was NXT UK 69 back in November 2019. And then he... What? Oh, that was a live show. Okay, towards the end of 2019, he was in a NXT title Fatal 4-Way number one contenders with Danny Burch, Barthel, Keith Lee, and himself.
Interesting.
So, yeah, like I can see more so now looking at this, why they put him in it. Yeah. But yeah, it must have been TakeOver Blackpool.
It feels like they're trying to bring in a bunch of new people. And I said this earlier when we were talking about the matches on our other podcast, whenever that comes out. But it feels like they're trying to replicate the original North American ladder match with this, where they're trying to bring in a bunch of fresh new people to show this is kind of the direction we're going in and to hopefully get a good match out of it like they did the ladder match. So I'm interested to see where they're going, because they've already got, as you said, they've already got three fairly large guys. So I'm interested to see who the last three are.
Assuming Ridge Holland wins.
I would imagine so, but maybe not.
Well, it also depends who he's going to beat. Like, if you assume he's winning, that means there are two more people.
The other people in the match is Priest and Lorcan. Priest I could see winning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Priest I could see winning.
Of the NXT was in
it. Yeah, Priest I could see winning. Lorcan, I doubt it, but...
Lorcan's takeover to me would make sense to be a Iron Man or submission match against, or a fight pit if they want to do it again, against Thatcher,
yeah,
who's freed up now.
Yeah,
but yeah, that wraps up a pretty, I would say, a good NXT episode with some meh. The main event disappointed.
It was a lot of build up.
It was fine. I think whenever it comes out, when we talk about our favourite matches in NXT history and so forth, there are, like, the common thread in all of mine is that the stories are so solid in all of them.
Yeah.
And there aren't many stories happening in NXT right now.
No.
Like, with the exception of Keith and Carrion and the Robert Stone saga, there's no real stories happening, and it's kind of like NXT used to be good at stories. So
yeah.
I would like that to happen. I would like that to happen soon, because like it just feels like while there's lots of new faces and stuff coming in, it doesn't feel like anything's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially that. When they're only this far out from a takeover as well.
I think the problem is because they've had, this goes back to the issue of they've had so many big shows lately that they're kind of out of stories. And because they're so close to another takeover, they don't have enough time to develop new ones properly. So
yeah,
they're in a weird position. I think post SummerSlam and post TakeOver 30, they'll be in a better position. Right now, we're in a weird stagnant point where they kind of have to quickly make new stories and also say, oh, this is happening, because we don't have enough time to build it.
Kind of hope the pandemic goes for longer so then there's no fans by November so we don't have to do War Games again.
War Games!
War Games!
Ah.
Sorry.
Thank you for the apology. My ears have been raped.
Right. We have been recording for about 4 hours now.
This show didn't go for 4 hours. We've just recorded many podcasts.
We've been recording longer than an episode of Raw. With that being said, you can follow me on Twitter at Liam A. Stewart. We'll get played out by Dexter Loomis's theme's a bit shit. Who was star of the show? Probably.
We could get played Gargano. Out. Gargano. By...
I like Gargano's new theme.
Bronson Reed. He had a promo thing.
No,
we didn't talk
no we're not
about
talking about the thick no. boy dream. Fuck off.
The thick boy. It was going
Mercedes?
So well up until that.
We could play
point.
Mercedes' old theme, the air horn one.
Yeah, okay, let's play Mercedes' old air horn theme.
Lovely, excellent. Wow, they actually went with my choices. I have power over this podcast. This is weird.
Don't let it go to your head. You can get me at Michael Farrah on Instagram, at Michael Farrah 92 on Twitter. And it's where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter as usual at Innes, I forgot my name for a second there, at Innes _ McVeigh, INNES _ MCVEY, where you can see Michael being a bad person.
Sure am. And Liam, where can they find you and the pod?
Follow me at Liam A. Stewart. You can see me being a actually bad person and also talking about everything. Yeah, you can follow the brand at Develop Podcast. Best way to keep up to date is to do that. Follow us all individually or just subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Other than that, what have we got next week? Retrona turning point. If not, you will have a top five NXT returns we want to see, just depending on how me and Michael can get it done. Right.
Yay! There is audio coming into your ear hole soon.
So, with that being said, thank you very much for listening. He's been Michael Farrah, he's been Innes McVeigh, I've been Liam Stewart. This has been the NXT Roundtable, and as always, please remember, dun da da dun dun da da dun 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 dun